Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Brian Battaglia, and it's a pleasure to be here today and introduce our guest speaker. I want to thank first Joe Boudreau for inviting our speaker, Brian, to be here today. And also, I wanted to remind everybody that if you put a card in the back, I think there's still time to do that, in the bowl back there, put your business card, you can win an autographed baseball from Kevin Kiermaier. So, if you have a second, run back to the back of the room and put your card in the bowl. All right, so we're honored today to have with us Brian Ault of the Tampa Bay Rays. And before I begin his introduction, I wanted to make a few comments about the impact baseball has had on our community in this area, the Tampa Bay area, and the impact baseball has had on our country. You know, Jock Barzun said many years ago that whoever wants to know the heart and mind of America had better learn baseball and the reality of the game. That quote from his book in 1954 was during the golden age of baseball. And baseball, as we all know, is truly an American game. Baseball has affected each of us in this room and in this community and this country. You know, in the 20s, baseball began its relationship with St. Petersburg and also in Tampa with the spring training in the prior to the 20s, actually. And baseball has also had an impact on our country as well in terms of breaking of the color barrier in 1947 with Jackie Robinson. That was 7 years before Brown versus Board of Education, and 25 years before the schools here in Pinellas County were integrated. So baseball has led the way in many areas from a social perspective in our country. And in terms of the community here, we've all been affected by initially the building of Tropicana Field and the initial relationship with, we would have hope for baseball at that time, which was back in 92 with the San Francisco Giants. I was affected, and I'm sure we all were affected by that announcement. At that time, I was in San Francisco, and I bought a very expensive San Francisco Giants jacket, which I still have today, because I knew it would be a collector's item. But as we all know, they didn't come, but we were lucky enough to later have the Rays join us. So let me move along and let me introduce our speaker. Brian Ault is in his 13th season with the Rays, and his fourth in his current position as team president. Together, he and Matt Silverman have led the club's operations both internally and externally, including pursuit of a new ballpark in Tampa Bay. Under Brian's leadership, the Rays have developed a thriving workplace culture. In addition to parental leave, adoption benefits, paid volunteer time, and a wellness initiative, the Rays have created a $10 minimum wage for all part-time employees, and in May of 2015, the Secretary of Labor recognized the Rays as an outstanding corporate citizen. Brian joined the Rays in 2005 as Director of Planning and Development, and he worked closely with Matt Silverman to define organizational priorities and assist with the transition in ownership. Before joining the Rays, Brian attended Harvard Business School, which I think is somewhere in the Northeast, and received his MBA focusing on managing human capital, marketing, and finance. He then attended Stanford University, where he obtained his master's degree in education and economics. So with that, I will introduce and bring up our speaker, Brian Ault. Thank you for being here, Brian.
Thank you very much. Oh, thank God we got the Harvard part in, and I'm pleased to see the civility code doesn't apply to the bell. Oh, I'm assuming that Peter Golenbach wasn't allowed to do the introduction this year because of that civility code, which is a nice start for me. Oh, hi, Peter. You're here. You're still allowed to be in the club, I see. Joe, thank you for bringing me here. Everybody on Radio St. Pete, thank you for tuning in. It's really great to be here. I appreciate the invitation. Brian, thank you for the kind introduction. Marilyn, thank you for the cinnamon rolls. I know that's the reason the audience is as large as it is, and it's genuinely appreciated. And before I get too far, because I know everybody wants them, tickets are available in the back. We can help you get whatever you need to support your 2018 Tampa Bay Rays right there. Let me just say right off the bat, it's been an emotional last month for the Tampa Bay Rays. Lots going on, and I hope to address as much of it as I can today. But the key message I want to leave with everyone here is that I feel about as good about our baseball team, about our organization, about our ballpark efforts, and about our ability to execute on our mission to energize our community through the magic of Rays baseball as I ever have. We are celebrating our 20th anniversary this year, and we do so with great pride in our organization and great optimism about the future. In the hopes that you all can join me in that optimism, let me elaborate a little bit on our team, our ballpark efforts, and our business. I'll start with the team. Last season did not end the way we hoped, but I want to remind everyone that in late July, we were in the wild card. We were in position to make the postseason. We added several players and not an insignificant amount of payroll to make a stretch run. And we were playing competitive games well into September. That meaningful baseball in September is always our goal. We were excited to get there and then obviously disappointed when the season didn't conclude the way we might have hoped. In 2018, we've got another very competitive team. We'll be built on strong pitching and better defense and fielding, as has been the Rays' way for some time. With some breakout potential offensively, if we can avoid injuries, we believe this team can absolutely be in the hunt and play those meaningful games in September again. Of course, we've paid attention, and our friends in New York and Boston have reloaded as they always do. We've seen the moves they've made, and we understand that they're never going to back down. But a handful of media outlets, including Baseball Prospectus, are currently projecting us to make the postseason, and we believe that those projections can absolutely ring true if a few things go our way. So we enter this season with a very solid core, some real upside, while simultaneously having rebuilt our farm system into one of the top five in the game. We have a slew of young players ready to make an impact on the major league level before too long. Along the way, we've also created the financial flexibility to build and maintain that core of players for years to come and potentially to add around them. Most importantly, as has been the case since I've been with the organization, we have the best front office baseball operations staff in the game. And Eric Neander, Chaim Bloom, and Kevin Cash, and the rest of the staff, we have innovative and sharp thinkers who respect the human element. We bring our players along so they understand what we're doing. And while in this day and age it is impossible to make sure that players hear first about trades that happen, and at the same time that the rest of the team understands what's going on, we have made every effort to be sure that we bring our players along and understand what our organization's doing and why we're doing it. The bottom line here, we're ready to compete and make some noise in the toughest division of all of sports. Now let me touch on the ballpark. Before I get into Ybor City and all that it entails, let me begin by expressing my sincere gratitude to the political, business, and community leaders of St. Petersburg and Pinellas County. From Mayor Kreisman and his staff to every single county commissioner, in particular Janet Long and Ken Welch, and thank you for being here, Commissioner Welch, as well as County Administrator Mark Woodard, we have received nothing but a sincere effort to understand what our organization is going through. And each individual party, and this includes chamber leadership and the Baseball Forever effort as well, has made clear that the number one goal is to keep the Tampa Bay Rays in the region. Each has sought to understand why that's the case, and each has sought to demonstrate what the city and county has to offer. Ultimately, we've chosen Ybor City because of the available options, it gives us the best chance to be successful in the long term as a sustainable business. We made this decision according to the 6 criteria we laid out to the St. Pete City Council as part of our MOU. We were looking for a catalyst for development. We needed local authenticity, regional connectivity, site accessibility, the right size and geometry, and a site that was development ready. And we are excited about this site. Ybor represents the multicultural history of this region beautifully. It is the definition of local authenticity. There may not be an area anywhere in Tampa Bay or possibly the country more ripe for the kind of economic injection that a ballpark can bring than Ybor. There are twice as many people that live within a 30-minute drive of Ybor as there are the Tropicana Field site. And with all the other development going on around downtown Tampa, it's possible to envision an entirely new family-friendly entertainment district that changes the landscape. We are seeking to build the first in the next generation of ballparks, and we will make it special. We've conducted dozens of focus groups already through our Ballpark Reimagined efforts, and we will continue to solicit ideas from wherever they may come. We have 4 guiding principles to our vision for a new ballpark. First, we want to build a baseball experience unlike any other. We've challenged our architects to completely throw out the old model. It's not clear to me that we need a box office in a new ballpark, because most of us will be getting our tickets digitally through our phones or whatever is embedded into our minds. We want to change the seating structure, or at least ask if it can be changed. We've been sitting in basically the same way since the times of the Greeks and the Romans. Long lines of seats. Most of those seats not unlike the middle seat on an airline, which we all grumble about when we get stuck with it. So we're asking if we can add a semicircular shape. Can we put more tables into the bowl? Can we create a more social environment to watch a game? We've been told twice that we need to build the world's largest and fastest lazy river. And while I can't promise you that that's going to happen, it's going to be considered. We are asking our architects, and we are working together to be as creative as humanly possible in order to create something truly special for ourselves. We want to build a smart, principle two, smart, sustainable, and right-sized ballpark. It's always struck us as curious that whether we're building in New York, Atlanta, Denver, or Tampa, most ballparks have about the same number of seats. We don't think that should be the case. And so we're looking at a smaller ballpark, more intimate, perhaps as few as 30,000 seats. We want to build something that's a defining icon for the region. The Sunshine Skyway does our region so proud. But after that, it's hard to name the next facility, and we want our ballpark to be it. In our most ambitious moments, we want to build the Sydney Opera House of Tampa Bay, something that belongs on every postcard, and something that inspires every visitor to come check it out, no matter what time of year they may be in town. And with respect to what time of year, we want this site activated 365 days a year. We know we have to have world-class training facilities, but can those double up as part of a wellness center in cooperation with USF, or Tampa General Hospital? We know we have to feed 30,000 people at any given moment in time, but can we use those kitchens to build a culinary institute, or perhaps a community kitchen? We want to build a porous building, so that if you're walking through work and you pass the ballpark, you could literally stroll through center field on your way, or grab a cup of coffee, sit in the seats, and enjoy the ballpark view with some friends. Maybe use your laptop and our Wi-Fi in a suite to get some work done. If we keep these principles in mind during the design process, we believe we can accomplish all these things, and it makes us very excited. Of course, there's a long way to go towards cementing a successful public-private partnership. The key will be the business community. We have to generate comparable support to other Major League Baseball markets for our sponsorships, suites, and club areas. Funding won't be a simple endeavor by any means, but if a public-private partnership can represent a good investment for both the Rays and the larger community, we will go forward. That's what we're working on right now, and I believe we're going to come to a positive conclusion. I want to speak for a minute, too, about my belief in Tampa Bay. We have a growing economy on both sides of the bay. You can feel, see, and touch the changes that are happening around us. Where we sit right now is a completely different place than it was 5 years ago, let alone 10, 15, or 20 years ago. Those developments are only good for baseball. We are certainly challenged as a Major League Baseball market right now, but I believe that in 10, 15, and 20 years, that may no longer be the case. And part of it's because of the way we grow. We root for each other in Tampa Bay. We celebrate each other's successes. It doesn't happen in other markets the way it happens here. When a business expands, we all get behind it. We all get excited by it. We are not fully formed. This is not New York. This is not Atlanta. This is Tampa Bay. And the fact that the Rays can be a part of the future of this region is something that really excites us. I think it excites all of us who are involved in the community. We know we're building something still, something that's going to be every bit as special as what we have today. Let's touch on the business now. It's been well articulated. Our attendance is not what we'd like it to be. We are nevertheless incredibly proud of what our business has become and of the way that we run it. Our television and radio ratings are among the highest in the game. Tampa Bay Times stories about baseball are among the widest read in the entire newspaper. People love us. Our fan base has grown remarkably, and individual fans are incredibly passionate. Sometimes so much so that the internet gets very angry with us. We appreciate that that's going to happen. It's part of being a team. We've also been recognized throughout the league and the country for how we operate, for our creative promotions, for having the best giveaways, for being the top of nearly every affordability metric that is out there. We have a great marketing team, a creative sales staff. This past year, generating the local business package, where any business that wished to support the Rays could commit $5,000, get $500 in free credit, and spend that money in any way they felt like over the course of a season. We wanted to make sure that those who want to support the Rays could do it without feeling bound to make future commitments up front. We have invested over $40 million of private money in Tropicana Field under Stuart Sternberg's leadership.
this offseason, $7 million more going into the building. On opening day 2018, Tropicana Field will be the best it has ever been for a baseball game, despite its age. It's a great place to watch a game. The 360-degree circulation project has made it a much more enjoyable and social atmosphere. The Republic Bank draft room and the other club areas cater to the higher-end clients. Our clean and family-friendly approach is wonderful for families, and there's not a bad seat in the house. We allow you to bring in your own food and drink, and on Sundays, if you carpool, parking is still free. We're putting in brand new turf for the second consecutive year through our partnership with Shaw, wanting to be sure that we have the best turf our players can play on, as well as something that's aesthetically pleasing on television. But we are in an old building. Construction began in 1986, 12 years before the Devil Rays played a single game. Maintenance costs and our air conditioning bill continue to rise, and they're not an insignificant part of our budget. This offseason, we're bringing in a new concessions partner in Levy, and we will have better food and service than we've had before. I encourage you all to come check it out. We're developing a true partnership with Levy, one that is not focused on the immediate bottom line, but on building a sustainable long-term approach. I want to hit a few things about our approach to community. I spent the first 5 years of my career as a fourth grade teacher in a low-income neighborhood, so I am well aware and have firsthand experience on the receiving end of what a great corporate partner can do. I am unabashedly proud of the work that our organization and our people do in the community and the way we go about doing it. As part of our employee-first culture, we explicitly put staff ahead of revenues, ahead of customer service, ahead of even the product on the field. Our culture believes that if we have the right people in the right places, give them the resources they need to do their jobs, all else will take care of itself. That premise, more than any other, has been the secret sauce to the Rays' success all these years. We have a robust wellness program, including free yoga classes every Wednesday, subsidized healthy meals available, and gym facilities. We provide total flexibility with respect to personal needs, appreciating that the 81-game schedule can be grueling. We don't want one staff member to have a second thought about needing to be with an ill relative or at a kid's Little League game when those events come up, whatever it may be. A key part of that employee-first culture is our policy to provide all staff with one paid day off every month to volunteer anywhere they'd like in the community. This policy serves as a recruiting and retention tool for exactly the kinds of employees we want at the Rays. It makes for more caring, connected personnel. It connects us to our community. And through it, we have developed relationships with just about every nonprofit organization in the region. We are represented on dozens of boards, sponsor hundreds of events, and fund myriad great causes. It goes beyond standard partnerships, though, because it truly is about people and relationships for us. Because of our relationships with MacDill, with law enforcement agencies, with our public school systems, we now offer free tickets to military, first responders, and teachers through our Salute to Service program. When no other sports team would sign the Supreme Court brief in favor of marriage equality, the Rays answered the call immediately, knowing that our LGBT employees, fans, and community needed to know where we stood. And the LGBT community knew how to reach us directly because we've been working alongside it for over a decade to promote pride. Standing up in support of marriage equality was just another step in our outreach efforts to support the LGBT community. Beginning with our Pride Nights, continuing with our player-supported It Gets Better campaign, and we added another chapter in the wake of the tragic shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. In one of the saddest moments our region has experienced, we hosted over 40,000 people at Tropicana Field, donating 100% of the ticket proceeds to the Victims Fund. It was a moment of incredible pride for us and for Tampa Bay as we shouted to the world that we would not stand for the bigotry and hate that shooting represented. We were selected by Major League Baseball to represent the league at a spring game in Cuba, attended by President Obama, and we understood that we were on an international stage representing Tampa Bay and the United States as well as Major League Baseball. Our players and staff handled it perfectly, and the fact that we have been authentically involved through Mayor Kreisman's efforts on Cuban outreach prior only made that event more meaningful. When Hurricane Harvey devastated Houston, our organization hosted the Astros and Rangers series, our staff never once complaining about another weekend of work in an already very brutal schedule. And when Hurricane Irma bore down on our region, we utilized Tropicana Field as a staging ground for first responders, distributed all the water we had on site to the community, joined forces with our longtime partner Feeding Tampa Bay to distribute meals to those in need. The city of St. Petersburg recognized us for our extraordinary response to the storm, and for that, we are also very proud. Shortly after, when local political leaders reached out to us, frustrated by the region's collective inability to get food and supplies we already had in hand to Puerto Rico, We went to work, calling every single entity we knew until we tracked down a cargo plane. We joined forces with Moffitt Cancer Center to bring doctors to the island and much-needed research samples back to the mainland. We did what we could, we did it for the right reasons, and we did it with the right partners. I could go on and on about these things because I am very proud of them. But the real reason I bring them up is that even in a season where we may fall short of our goals on the field, we still regularly answer the call to represent this region proudly under the brightest of spotlights. I want to leave you with a few closing thoughts, and I see that I only have time for just that. First, we are excited about this 2018 team. Don't sleep on these guys. Don't count these players out. Support them and strap in for what's going to be a great year. If you're up for it, take a peek at what the future holds. We're going to be playing baseball at Tropicana Field for at least 5 more seasons. And we have invested in the building and in the team in a way that we can ensure those are going to be great years. Second, we are proud of the way we run our business, the relationships and the partnerships that we have built and able to have as much positive impact in our community as possible. We never lose sight of our mission, energizing the community through the magic of Rays baseball. And finally, we have been and remain committed to this area. I've lived here longer than I have anywhere else. Tampa Bay is my home. My wife and I are sending our kindergartner to North Shore Elementary School just up the street, and we have worked every single day to make that school as good as it possibly can be, even helping to form an independent nonprofit organization to support it. Our employees feel the same way. This is where we live. This is our community. This is where we want to be, and this is why we are so deeply invested. We've been focusing on building a new permanent home in this region because it's so important to us to ensure Major League Baseball is here for generations to come. And now I look forward to the claws coming out and answering a few questions. Seeing none. Yes, ma'am. We don't have plan B. We are focused entirely on plan A. With respect to shooting ourselves in the foot, we came out of the gates under Stuart Sternberg's ownership with an under-construction campaign. We announced to the whole world, the Devil Rays are not ready for prime time. We don't expect to be competitive for some time. We're going to rebuild this team. We're going to do it the right way, and we wanted everyone to understand what we were doing. We want to have an honest relationship with all our stakeholders on all sides of the bay so they know how we're really approaching things. It didn't help us sell sponsorships, didn't help us sell season tickets, but in 2008, when we made a pretty incredible run to the World Series, people started to jump on board, and they started to nod their heads and say, hey, maybe these folks know what they're talking about. I'd rather be honest with people and have them not necessarily like it than the other alternative. Yes, ma'am.
Betty Morgenstein, everything you said was very impressive, but I'm wondering, what kind of statistics do you have in terms of the people from Tampa coming here over the years to the game, and the people here that would be going to Tampa?
It's certainly hard to know what's going to happen if we move. All that would be speculative, but our due diligence process has led us to believe that attendance would be significantly higher over on the other side. We get about half our fans from Hillsborough and Pinellas County now. We wish we got more fans from both counties, and we've done everything we can to outreach to both counties. But as we've shared, you know, we're not missing by just a handful of people here. We need to make a significant difference. We need 10,000 more people per night. And that's what we're gonna go after. We're gonna try to get as smart as we possibly can about it. We're trying to avoid an if we build it, they will come situation, and find a they will come if we build it situation. But I can't guarantee any of that. It's gonna take a leap of faith on all of our parts. Yes, right behind.
Citizens made huge sacrifices, put on indefinite equipment, spending on other things, even for the cost of what the patient does.
I'd never presume to tell anybody how they should feel. What I would tell you is we have done our very best earnestly to make it work in St. Petersburg. We attempted to build a stadium right down the street on the waterfront in 2008, and it was not appreciated by the local community. We won more games from 2008 to 2013 than all but one or two teams in the entire league, making the postseason four times, winning 90 games, five out of six seasons. And attendance never moved above the second, third, fourth worst in the entire league. Nothing would make me happier than to be able to sit here and say, we're going to be putting 40,000 people into a ballpark on that Tropicana Field site going forward. I live in St. Pete. I love St. Pete. But I don't believe that's a responsible approach to take right now, because I think we have enough data to show that it's probably not going to happen. We will continue to be Tampa Bay's baseball team no matter where we are. We'll be here for the next 5 years, and we're going to continue to try to build strong relationships with the people who are here. And hopefully that can reduce whatever sense of betrayal some folks may have. Yes, Marilyn.
Marilyn. Transportation and all your wishings and hopings and for people. Unlike, you know, all the great transportation we have now from our Clearwater to Tropicana Field.
We need better transportation, and the Rays have supported every transportation initiative that has ever come down the pipeline. No matter where we are, transportation is going to be helpful to our business. That's not the only reason we support it, though. We think it's the key to the future of the region. I think our growth is limited by the lack of transportation. If there were two things I could magically wave a wand and accomplish, it would be better transportation and better public school systems across the board. Unfortunately, I don't have that magic wand yet. Yes, ma'am, in the middle.
I certainly appreciate your reaching out to teachers and first responders by offering free tickets, and I definitely did take advantage of that when I was a classroom teacher. But my concern now is for the children that look to the Rays for motivation, inspiration, as they're playing Little League games on their respective fields in their communities. And I was wondering what you have in mind to encourage our Little Leaguers who may not be able to take advantage of a pricey ticket on a Sunday afternoon to come with your families to a Rays game. Do you have anything that you are have on the drawing board that would encourage low-income children to come with your families on an afternoon to see a baseball game?
Yes, absolutely. We do nights through both the education foundations and with both the school systems, and those are very affordable tickets. I don't know exactly what we're getting to this year, but the goal is that every kid is able to come regardless of what they can afford. We also support the Little Leagues through our T-ball program. Every kid who plays T-ball in the region is on the Rays and gets a jersey paid for by our organization, which has saved several hundred thousand dollars across the board for those leagues to be able to allow more scholarship players when necessary and to just support the league generally. Children are the future. Whitney Houston said it first, or at least at some point, and we certainly believe in it. We know they need to love baseball, and we also are acutely aware of baseball having a generally aging demographic. So we will continue to work on that. I appreciate you bringing it up. I think there's more that we can do, and we won't stop. Gary in the back. I think this is actually your son asking the question. Are you going to hide behind that, or...
Past president of the Tampa Tiger Day Club. So Brian's a class act. Last year, he gave my 13-year-old son an autographed baseball for his bar mitzvah. He asked him who his favorite players were, and gave it to him. The problem that my son said is during the offseason, he gave the players away. Now, my son still is the number one fan. However, if you want to build a fan base, you need kids. How can you do that when you give their heroes away?
Man, We'd love to keep the heroes around, but we made a decision that winning is the most important thing we can do. And when we have to make player moves in order to win the most number of games over the longest period of time, that's something we've remained committed to doing. We've heard the feedback, and we've even heard that maybe that's not the right goal. But for the time being, we've given it a lot of thought, and it's where we stand. And I believe that we're going to have more household names soon. I'm not sure exactly who the players were that signed, and I'm not sure exactly who you're referring to that's gone. But a whole lot of folks that we traded, we're only here because of trades that happened before. And we're going to have to continue to operate that way for some time. Now, of course, one of the things we're trying to do with a new ballpark is have a more sustainable business that allows us to put more money on the field, keep more players around longer, and that'll always be the goal. Those decisions aren't easy, and I just want to mention Evan Longoria because for the last 10 years he's been the heart and soul of our franchise. Letting him move on was one of the hardest things we've had to do, and we knew how hard it would be for our fan base, and it didn't come without a whole lot of a thought behind it. Yes, sir.
I'm Gregory Wilson. I've been with this club for 30 years, and I've never had to be told to be civil, so you're in good hands. Since this is a political club, I wonder if you could give us a sense of what role politics is going to play in the immediate future of the Rays. You have a legislature led by a speaker who's particularly hostile towards sports venues in Florida, against local, county, and municipal control, even against CRAs. You have a cash-strapped city of Tampa that just got a surprise bill they had to pay and had to raise their taxes for the first time in decades. It would seem to me like you have a whole new baseball game to play. So I was wondering if you could give us a sense of how you're going to do that, how you're going to navigate with the current political climate.
The short answer is that we truly believe the best that we can do is to be straightforward with people about what we need and how it impacts our larger situation. Our elected officials are the ones who need to decide how funds are dispersed, what the rules are around CRAs. I personally think that local control in the hands of folks like Commissioner Ken Welch makes a little more sense than people up in Tallahassee, but that's a process that's going to have to ferret itself out. It could have dramatic impacts on what we do, but we want to appreciate that we're a baseball team, and what elected officials are dealing with in general is far more important than just us. As difficult as these times are, and I think we do live in at least as polarizing a time as I've been alive for, I still hold the belief that almost all of our public officials are in public service for the right reasons, and because they believe what they're standing up for and that they're trying to do right by their constituents. I don't necessarily agree with all that they're doing, but I want to trust that process, and our baseball team will trust that process. And while we'll certainly convey what the consequences of a particular bill or approach will be to our business, we've never hired an army of lobbyists to make sure things go our way, and I don't expect that that'll happen in the future. Yes, ma'am.
Christine Wong with Leadership St. Peter Alumni Association. Question, tell me what your vision of the ballpark looks like. Is it metal roof? Retractable roof? In your mind, and I know exactly what you're looking at. Because I heard you tell about the last baseball stadium you were planning downtown St. Pete.
I don't know exactly what we're looking at, but you know, some of the things I talked about in building the first and the next generation of ballparks absolutely comes to mind. We'd love not to have a roof. It's pretty hot here in the summer. It's very hot. And even if we could get over the heat, there's too much lightning. Too many games would be canceled. It's almost a non-starter. There's significant difference in cost between a retractable roof and a stable roof. I think a retractable roof offers a lot more options. Many of those options would be not during the summer, however. And so it comes down to perhaps how the community wants to use the facility year-round in terms of the way that we make that particular decision and what the cost-benefit analysis are of a retractable roof versus not having one. We are resigned, however, to the fact that we're probably going to need an HVAC system and a roof. Beyond that, again, we're really pushing the envelope in terms of creativity. We want a whole slew of what we're calling ballpark neighborhoods. We want you to be able to move around the stadium and feel like you're going to different places as you walk. We want to even push on the string with respect to what your ticket means. We've had an idea that you might be able to buy a ticket that gives you three innings in the front row, three innings in a club area, and three innings in next to the playground if you have children. And with phones now and with the world becoming what it is, you'd sort of move people around in a way that didn't cause mass chaos. I don't know exactly where we'll wind up. I just know I'm really excited about it, and I know that if you have ideas about it, I'd love to hear them. I should be going over here. Yes, sir.
David Martin, I hear your frustration. You brought us literally the best team in baseball for 5 years. Still couldn't get people in the seats. As a season ticket holder since day one, it's frustrating. My neighbors don't join me. St. Pete might not be a baseball town. Why would Tampa be a baseball town?
First of all, thank you for being a season ticket holder since day one. I object to St. Pete not being a baseball town. The 18,000 people a night that we get is comparable to 75,000 people a night in Manhattan. We are a smaller community, and that's okay. In fact, I think it's one of the things I love about this area. We get to come to things like this in a way that just doesn't happen in New York. But it makes it harder to fill seats, and it certainly makes it harder to compete on a payroll basis with the Yankees. The biggest difference between Tampa and St. Petersburg is that Tampa is closer to the geographic center of this region, and that a whole heck of a lot more people live and work within a 30-minute radius versus Tropicana Field. We are going to and need to shore up firm commitments, particularly from the business community there, to know that if we go forward with a public-private partnership of the size that we're talking about, people are going to fill the seats. We have to know that in advance, or it's not something that I can get behind doing. And so that's what we're working on doing. I'm optimistic that we're going to get there. The Tampa Bay 2020 group that you may have heard of feels like we're going to get there, and we'll see. Yes, sir.
Have a free day. Brian, I had a question. Why not look at something like the San Francisco Giants model, where the team and private interests build the stadium and the city be responsible for infrastructure which would be useful to the general public and the community rather than just for the people who go to games?
We have looked at that. What we are trying to convey through this ballpark process as clearly as we can is that our business isn't able to fund a ballpark on its own. The debt payments would simply hamstring the rest of our baseball operations in a way that we couldn't function. We wouldn't be able to put a team on the field. And so we're going to need public support. The San Francisco Giants, I can't say that I'm familiar with all the intricacies of it, but I do know that their economy is very different than ours. We need to be able to fund the portion of the ballpark that we pay for. We need to be able to fund that without it hampering our ability to put a competitive product on the field, or there's no point in doing it. And so for us, in many ways, it's a math equation, and we're working on making that math equation as favorable as possible to the payroll that we can put on the field. Was there a question in the middle? Carrie?
No one else wants it. Kelly Hirschner, there was a recent report, I think, Players Union, about the Rays, among other teams, perhaps being incentivized to lose and getting rid of higher-paid players. You've obviously spoken to the issue that we had a competitive team in September, so I think you reject that statement. Could you just speak about that revenue-sharing model and if it's a perverse incentive to pay teams to lose with revenue sharing?
Yeah, I'll speak to a handful of things there if you don't mind, and you'll have to keep the timer on me here. The tanking suggestion and the payroll dumping suggestion have both surprised us. We understood that people were upset with the moves, as they have every right to be, but our opening day payroll next season is going to be higher than it was last season and among the highest we've ever had. We went out and signed two free agents at a cost of $7 million. We did that with the hopes of winning games, certainly not to lower payroll, and certainly not because we're trying to lose as many games as possible. So I think that we've done all that we can, again, to position ourselves for long-term success, which is kind of the key to what we do. The revenue sharing system is tough, and the Players Union filed a grievance against us. Again, we don't believe there's much merit to it, but you know, whatever dollars you bring in, a portion of that goes back to the league, and that goes for every single team. And so if you're to make a $5 million investment in a player, you need to make back more than that in order for it to make sense. And we have to think about those things in the way we approach our business. It doesn't affect the day-to-day much. We, as we've said many times, try to run our business basically on a break-even basis over the long term. So there are years where we take on debt to fund higher payrolls. There's years where we have to cut in order to fund teams for the future. And we do that always with the end goal of putting as many competitive teams on the field as we possibly can. We're there. We go to the back here. I'm skipping you, Shirley, because I know you'll get to me later.
Sue Landers, you mentioned that you wanted 40,000 here at the stadium in St. Pete, yet you're going to build your stadium in Tampa for 30,000. Tell me the difference.
Oh, I'm sorry. What I meant was, in the event that we were bringing in 40,000 a night here in St. Petersburg, there wouldn't be a conversation about moving the ballpark across the bay. If we were to average 30,000 a night this year in St. Petersburg, that would be absolutely wonderful. What we believe we can do, based on where our current due diligence stands, is filling up a 30,000 ballpark to near capacity, close to 81 times a year in Ybor. That's what we're studying. That's what we're going to try to get as smart as we possibly can about. In the event that our due diligence leads us to believe that, you know what, that number should be 35 or 40,000 in Ybor, we could certainly build a larger ballpark. But just the nature of construction is such that your upper deck seats are the least provide the least amount of revenue. They're the least desired, and they're the most expensive to build. So in the event that we can eliminate some of those seats, buy down the cost of the project and create a more intimate environment, that's absolutely something we're going to consider.
Is there one more question?
It's up to you.
Let's go over here.
Hi, Josh Schulman, and thank you, Tigers, for allowing the Mission City Alumni Association to attend and ask questions. I've heard you talk about the Rays repeatedly as a business, and I appreciate that. I'm interested to understand why you think taxpayers should fund infrastructure for your business, where we don't build plants and buildings for other businesses that come into the area. We offer tax incentives, which the Rays get as well, but you're asking taxpayers to openly put a large portion of the bill, and I want to know why you think that's appropriate for your business versus other private enterprises.
I think it's appropriate for the public sector to make investments that have a positive return. We just saw this community bend over backwards and offer any number of incentives to Amazon, one of the wealthiest companies in the entire world, and the entire country did that. And we've seen ballparks get built all over the country with a whole lot of public investment. What I would never presume to say that what taxpayers should or shouldn't spend their money on or what decisions public officials should make. What I have to convey is that we are not able to build a ballpark on our own. And so if we want a new ballpark and we want to secure the future of Major League Baseball for generations to come, we're going to need to get creative about it. We're going to need some public support to get it done. There's absolutely a reasonable argument to be made that that's not where this community wants to put its dollars. We're going to make our case that we think it does have a positive return and that a new ballpark can lead to a higher tax base that can then fund a whole bunch of other services in the area. But it's not an easy case, and it's one that I encourage everyone to be informed about. And whenever we talk to public officials, we say, you are the last stop on this community not doing something it's going to regret. And so we want to make sure you understand exactly what you're signing up for at every step of the process. That's what I think our responsibility is. You won't hear me say we should be spending money on X, Y, or Z, certainly not in my role as president of the Rays. Okay. Thank you all very much.
We're going to ask Brian to stick around for a photograph with the toughest question. And today's winner, I feel like I betrayed Brian because I said last question and then open it up to one more stinger. So one of our guests from Leadership St. Pete Alumni Association, Josh Shulman, please come up and accept your Tiger. Quick reminder, April 12th, second Thursday of the month, come here our legislative recap. You might want to talk to them about CRAs and funding baseball stadiums that Josh and Brian are clearly very interested in. Thank you all very much.
You've been listening to a live broadcast of today's Suncoast Tiger Bay Club Luncheon from the St. Petersburg, Florida Yacht Club. The speaker today was Brian Ault, the president of the Tampa Bay Rays. Live events coverage from RadioSt.Pete.com. This is Joe Bordeaux. Thanks for listening. We return you to our studio.